Today is the December 31st meeting of Hope Bible Church. Steve Hogan's message this morning is Reflecting Rightly on 2017. If you would like to support our sermon audio ministry, please click the Support Us button on our sermon audio homepage. Thank you.
Good morning. It's great to see all of you here at Hope Bible Church this last day of 2017. It's a beautiful day out, but I got a question. How many of you were raised up in the north where it got down to like maybe 0 degrees once or twice a year? You know what it's like, okay? I was checking my hometown, Fonda, Iowa, this morning. It was 16 below, about 9:45. That's without wind chill. People always put up this wind chill. That wind chill's nothing. It's what's really, 16 below, but we're blessed here. Our temperature was 57 in Pleasant, right? Thankful to be here. I'm glad to be here too, and glad to be with you. Here we are at the end of 2017, the last day of this year, a year we'll never see again. But before we say goodbye to this year, it's good to take some time to look back over this year, really from God's perspective. We all can think about our lives, and as you think about 2017, there's no doubt some really good things that happened, maybe in your mind some bad things that happened too. But it's important that you don't just look at your life from your perspective, but from God's perspective. And the way we get God's perspective is by looking at His Word. And the truths that are found in God's Word will help you to see what took place in a right way and in a godly way, and then will help you then to process rightly. And I believe then will encourage you and then move you to give glory and praise and honor to God for what He has done for you and for His purposes and glory. But also then I believe help you to continue and increasingly so want to serve Him in the days and the months and the year and years ahead. We're going to look at a number of things. You have an outline there. You can follow along if you'd like, but there's a number of principles. There's more than this that we could have looked at, but we only have so much time. But some important ones, and to use these principles to reflect on your life this past year. We're talking about the past. We're not talking about the future. That's next week. Today is looking at the past. Again, this is one of the more important things for us as Christians to be able to do is to process what has happened rightly, whether it took place yesterday or last week or last year or 20 years ago. Many Christians don't know how to do that rightly, and you will have difficulties and problems if you can't do it rightly. So we're going to take some time and just look at a number of things. The first one is that God was with you. Isaiah chapter 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." And so God then was with you this whole past year, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every week, every month, all year long, the Lord is with you. You were never alone. There's never a time when He had left you, but He was always with you, morning, noon, and night, this whole past year. Isaiah 41:10 goes on to say that God was with you for a reason. He's not just with you, but He's with you for a reason. What it goes on to say in that verse is He was with you to strengthen you and to help you and to uphold you. And that's very encouraging. If you think back over this year, you need to think, God was strengthening me. God was helping me to get through the days. God was upholding me in difficult situations. It was God who was doing that. So the first one, God was with you. The second one is God forgave you. Psalm 130, verse 4 says, "There's forgiveness with you that you may be feared." As Christians, I believe you all know that we still sin against God. With that, we'll only be perfect in the sense when we get to heaven, we'll not sin at all. We all sin against God. We all sinned against God this past year, and a fair amount of times, I'd say, too, as we think back over our lives. But the good news is that we're forgiven of every one of our sins. Maybe there's things that keep coming back to your mind. You are forgiven. There's nothing that God holds against you. And so you must remember this and realize this and take this to heart. So it says in Psalm 23:6, a familiar verse, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." So indeed then, God has been merciful and forgiving towards you every single day of this past year. And this should cause you then to want to love the Lord and honor Him and please Him and bless Him more and more and more. So God is with you. God forgives you. The next one, God protects you. No, God, it's not in the... Okay, it's a little insert here, okay? that I put in, and that is, it's from Colossians 3:13. It's God forgiving you. We talked about how God has forgiven us, and we need to be ones then who forgive others. This is what God wants. You're to forgive those who sin against you. And if you don't forgive others who sin against you, then you're not loving them in the way you should. And if you don't forgive others, then oftentimes what happens, there can be anger in your heart that rises against that person. You get mad at them, or you can even become bitter, and that is not good. The point that I want to make as you think back over this past year, have you forgiven all the people who have offended you? Have you forgiven all the people who've sinned against you this past year? Because if you've not, then you really can't move ahead properly. I'm not saying you're not going to move ahead at all. You can't move ahead properly. You cannot live in the way that God wants. You won't be able to do the things that God wants for you. That's what you need to understand. So it's important, then, this whole point about God then forgiving you. The next one, then, God protected you. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. And this is a wonderful truth. We've talked about this, but God has been protecting you from evil men and from evil deeds, from the devil's snares and from the devil's schemes. God is your heavenly Father, and you are his child, and he watches over you, and he keeps you, and he protects you much more than you ever realize from bad people and bad situations. Psalm 121, verse 7 says this, the Lord will protect you from all evil and will keep your soul. In 2017, God protected you. It's a wonderful truth. Again, you don't know the half of it, how much God protected you, but he did, because he is your Father, and he cares for you so, so much more than you ever realize. The next one is that God's been good to you. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Just a very simple statement, but profound and important. God has been good to you, very good to you this past year. Sometimes people think, oh, he's not been good to me. Well, that's a lie. That's not the truth. And sometimes we think that. We let the devil make us think that, or whatever circumstances come our way. That's not the truth. God has been very good to you. Every day this past year, God has been good to you. And you need to give credit to God. You need to thank him. You're not a self-made person as a Christian. You're God-made, and God is the one that blesses you. You need to thank him and give him the credit for the good he has been doing in your life, whether it's your food, your clothing, or shelter, whether it's for friends or this church or for your family, or whether it's for the job you have or the money you have to buy the things you need. God has been good to you. God's the giver of all that is good and has blessed you with so many good things. That's just one facet of 2017. Another one, we continue on, is God gave you strength. 1 Corinthians 1:8, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You ask yourself, how did I have the strength to do what God wanted me to do? God gave it to you. That's how you had the strength. Only you could only do what God wanted you to do by the strength, by the power, the grace that God gave you. That was it. John 15:5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do a thing for the Lord that is apart from him. You can't do it. You look back and there's so many things you did for the Lord in this past year. So many things you did for God. And you have to again realize, man, God gave me the strength. God helped me. Sometimes we can so easily pat ourselves on the back, and don't do that. Give the glory to God. If anything good happened, it's because God helped you to do it. He kept you, gave you the strength. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God. Boy, what a declaration of the truth. I am what I am by the grace of God. Then that great verse in Psalm 84:7. I love this verse. It's a great life verse. It says they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in heaven. This should sum up our life. We go from strength to strength. Yes, we face weakness, but then we get strength, and we go from strength to strength until we appear before God in heaven. Psalm 32, verse 8. God leads you, or God led you this past year. Verse 32, 8. I will lead you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We're talking about God's daily and continued involvement in your life this whole past year. An important aspect of that is that God was leading you. That's what he was doing. God had plans for you this past year, places for you to go and people for you to see and things for you to do. And you have to see that God was directing you and leading you in the things that you did. Sometimes you don't think that. You think, I'm just doing what I want to do. And no, God's leading. I mean, Proverbs 16:9 makes it very clear. It says, man plans his way, but what? The Lord directs my steps. You plan your overall way. I mean, when you plan your day, you get up this morning or tomorrow and you plan your day. It's more of a general thing, right? That's the idea of plan. God directs each and every one of your steps. It's an amazing thing, the truth of God in terms of how he leads us. And so even when you plan your way, you see that God himself was directing each one of your steps. Let's turn to, I want to see just a little example. It's Acts chapter 16. Really a section of truth when you think about it. It's the movement of the church. The book of Acts, of course, is the history of the early church. And when did this church start moving into the what we call the European regions? And it tells us right here. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Acts 16, verse 6. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian regions, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Isn't that an amazing statement? You know, as Christians, you want to speak the word of God. You want to share the truth of people. It says the Spirit forbade us to speak in Asia. Forbade us. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Another example. They keep going someplace else. No, I don't want you here. The Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That is, come to Europe. That's what was being said. That's what took place here. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I'm not saying you get visions. You're not going to get visions like this. But God leads. He works through our hearts and our spirits and in relationships and the church, and he does lead us. And it's important as you go through life then, say, Lord, I want to be led by you. And you get up every day, say, Lord, I'm thinking of doing this today, but I want to make sure I'm doing what you want. Lead me in the way that I should go. And he'll lead you. He'll prompt your spirit, your mind. It might be, you know, a thought from a friend or from a spouse or somebody else, and oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, God can lead in so many different kinds of ways. So many different kinds of ways God can lead you. And so he'll lead you. The next one is God helped you to be holy. John 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. One of God's main purposes for your life is to be pure, is to be holy, help you to say no to sin and to stay away from that which is evil, and then to help you to do what is right. And so if you're holy this last year, it was by the grace of God. Psalm 23:3 says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. I love this verse. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. It's for his purposes and glory. So when you look back over this year, you need to realize that it was God who was helping you to lead a righteous life, to turn away from those things that were wrong and then to turn to do those things that were right. It was God who was helping you. It was God who was leading you. So again, we give credit to God. God's helping you then to be holy. Now, I'm not saying you all know this, that you didn't live a perfect life this past year. Well, I could say that. That's easy to say. But when you were holy, when you did what was right, when you said what was right, when you were thinking what was right, it was by God's grace that he was helping you to be holy. That's what it was. When you said no to sin, when you resisted temptation, then it was by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God and by the Word of God then that you were being holy. That's what it was. Here's this good prayer, Psalm 119:133. Establish my footsteps in your word and do not let any iniquity have come down upon me. And so it's really, it's just the Lord, and he uses his word, his truth. As we read in that verse, John 17, sanctify them by thy truth, God's word, his truth, being the main instrument that he uses to help us to be pure and to be holy. The next one, so God was teaching you. Psalm 119:33 says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. I shall observe it to the end. I love this truth, that God is our teacher. You all understand what it means to have teachers. You've been in school. You've had teachers, some teachers you like, some teachers you didn't like. But God's been your teacher. God is your teacher, and God has been a perfect teacher. And you've been in school as a believer, as a Christian, all year long. You never graduate from school until you go to heaven, okay? You're always in school. You'll be in school this year, too. You're always in school. And God was teaching you truth that he wanted you to understand in your mind, in your head, but also in your heart. And God included both, your mind and your heart. He's been helping you to grow in your character, giving you lessons in situations and trials, helping you be more patient and holy and kind and faithful and loyal. God has his ways of teaching you. Our daughter was with us this past week, and she took off Friday, went to Jacksonville the first night, then left yesterday morning for Charlotte. And so she called us last night, you know, and I, you know, well, she had called it once, and she got home, but then she called us again, and that second call, I said, oh, no, why is she calling again? And her car wouldn't start. Now, she had rented the car to come down here, and so it was just a car that had been sitting in the garage for like 9-10 days. It didn't start. And so I won't go through all the details because there's a lot more to the story than just that. But the point is this, God was using that to teach her. You all understand this. There's all kinds of lessons that God gives you. But the trials that come your way, please, please stop and think and realize, okay, God's trying to teach me something because of this particular difficulty, trial, the situation, this conflict, whatever it might be. So stop and listen. As it says in Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. That is the teaching of God upon your life relates to him teaching you truths from his word, and he will afflict you. You're going astray, he afflicts you, puts you in some trial situation, and then you learn and you do what God wants you to do. Now, none of us, of course, are straight-A students when it comes to God being our teacher and receiving grades from him, but it's probably a good thing to ask yourself, well, how am I doing? If God was grading me this year in terms of my learning, being a good student, how am I doing? You all got grades in school, whether it's A, B, C's, or maybe a D, or maybe an F. I don't know what you got, but you all got grades. How would God grade you this past year? That's the most important thing. It's not what some other teacher in some school will grade you. What's God grading you? But here's the thing I want to say. You're all believers. You're all here today. If he was finished with you, you'd be in heaven, okay? You're still in school, and so I can't help but think that God, of course, has been still teaching you, and you've been learning. So that's a positive thing. I've been learning. You've been learning from the Lord this last year. The next truth is that God has been faithful to 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you. He'll bring it to pass. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This truth about God being faithful is so important because God never changes in his character, never changes in his purposes. He's always one who is faithful. He's always reliable. He's always dependent. He's always consistent. He's always steadfast. He's steady with you. He's resolute with you. He's always trustworthy with regard to your life and the plans he's had for you. You have to understand, God had plans for every day of your life in 2017. He had plans for your life. He knew the plans he had for you. And he's faithful to carry out the plans for your life. You've got a father who is intimately, intricately involved in your life. And he's been faithful to you. And so it means God then was faithfully leading you, faithfully protecting you, faithfully teaching you, faithfully strengthening you, faithfully helping you to be holy, faithfully giving you what is good, faithfully then forgiving you. All these things we've talked about already, God was faithful. So faithful is a different kind of a character quality, and that is sort of an adjective to these other qualities. If God forgives you, he faithfully forgives you. If God protects you, he keeps on daily protecting you. See that? So he protects you, but he's always, continually, daily, faithfully protecting you and all the rest we mentioned too. Next, God was sovereign over your life. Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. I believe you all know that God is sovereign. But do you believe this? Do you think about this? I mean, these are things you need to think about. I mean, I'm going to tell you your assignment now. Your assignment, after sometime today, is to go back over these things. Oh, you can watch this festivities in some other city or New York City or watch the ball drop. That's fine. More importantly, make sure you process 2017 rightly. And I'm just giving you some parameters, some ideas, some guidelines to process it rightly. Because if you want to move into 2018, start the new year right, it's got to be from God's perspective. And that's what I'm saying right here. This is so important. The sovereignty of God, so important to think about this. This is a wonderful truth, that God's in charge, that God's in control, that accidents do not happen, that nothing happened by chance, that God was personally involved in your life every second, every minute, every day of this past year. God is sovereign. You need to think about this. You really need to take time to think about this. And sometimes what I do, and this really helps my heart and soul, is I go back over the years. I'm in my 60s now, so I go back into the 50s. Okay, what happened in the 50s? And I think about how God was working. I go into the 60s. Okay, what happened then? In the 70s, I can give you a lot of stories. I'm just summing it up. I go to the 70s, then the 80s, and the 90s, and then the 2000 to 2009, and now the teen years of this 21st century. And it's a wonderful thing to take even just 5 or 10 minutes and to survey your life. It should refresh your soul. It should encourage you, because God's been working and God's been leading. If you can't process things rightly, you might need to sit back some more and think and pray. You might even talk to a friend, because God wants you to have a good view, a righteous, holy, positive view of the past. And one of the keys is God's sovereignty. So think about this. God's been sovereign over your entire life, and over your entire life this past year, over every single day, every single situation, every single relationship, every single trial, over everything you said and did, God was sovereign. Turn to Ephesians. This is one of my favorite verses on the sovereignty of God. It gives more of the global and eternal perspective, and we need to see that. If you didn't read my post from Friday night, that's what I was talking about, how God is involved in your life for his purposes. But Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Read there, it says, which God lavished on us. We'll start verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, that is in Christ, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. I love that, because that's where we're going. We're in the end times, and God's moving things towards that point when Christ comes up and things then are summed up in Christ. In verse 11, also we've obtained inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Everything in your life is worked out according to the counsel of his will, and is part of, and this is what I was explaining in my post Friday night, is part of the big picture. Don't just think you're a loner, you're an island off by yourself. You're part of God's plan. You're part of the big picture. You can't extricate yourself from God's plan and from his workings. You are part of what he's doing. And that's an encouraging thing, because on one hand, it makes you think, wow, I'm important. On the other hand, you think, well, I'm part of the whole big scheme of things, so I'm not that important. So you need to have that balance. I am important, not too important. God wants you to see this, that you're valuable to him and for the purposes that he has for your life, but as well as his purposes for this entire world. And so the point is that God is intimately involved in your life for your good and for the good of others and for his purposes then and for his glory. We continue on, and next point is, you completed the work God gave you to do. You might have a question about that as we read that, but let me explain this. And first I'll just read the verse from John 17. This is about Jesus before he went to the cross, but he was thinking perspective ahead of time. I brought you glory by completing the work you gave me to do. That's one of my life verses, because I want to get to the last day of my life and be able to say that. And I hope you have that heart and desire too. I brought you glory by completing the work that you gave me to do. You all know that when you're at a job, you've all been at jobs before, you had a job to do someplace you worked, whatever, and had an employer, and there are specific tasks and things and jobs that you were to do, right? That's the way it works. Your employer, your boss gave you things to do, and you did them, okay? How much more so did God himself give you work to do this past year? You think about that. Again, you all understand employment. Yeah, I go to work, and I put in my 8 hours, and I do these things, and I'm done, I go home. How much more so did God give you his work to do in 2017? That's something, isn't it? And he did. There's no doubt about it. God gave you work to do, specific jobs and tasks. And every day, God had work for you to do. And from your point of view then, you should think this way. Well, I worked for God this year. That should be your perspective. And hopefully you all had that heart. I worked for God this year. Yes, I had an appointment. But most importantly, I worked for God this year. I did. And I did the work that he wanted me to do. But being humble, as we sometimes are, we realize I didn't do everything perfectly. I didn't do all that God commanded. I did mess up, okay? But here's the point that I want you to understand. From God's sovereign perspective, I put that word sovereign in there. From his sovereign and holy perspective, you did all that God wanted you to do. I mean, do you think God's going to have you on this earth and you don't do what he wants you to do sovereignly, globally, eternally speaking? Of course not. And that's encouraging. Even though you messed up, God forgave you. He kept you going. He kept strengthening you. You accomplished what God wanted you to do. Because God is God and he's in charge. He's going to make sure that his work is done, and he works through people like you and me. That's what he does. Let me go on. God was loving you. Psalm 92. Turn to Psalm 92. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, it says, "It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night." This verse instructs us that it's good at the beginning of the day to declare the love of God. Then at the end of the day, declare God was faithful to me. That is, God showed me his love. It's an important thing. You bookend your days. First in the morning, the declaration of God will be good to me. At the end of the day, God was faithful. He faithfully loved me. That's what happened. Well, so too, here at the end of this year, we should be able to say, look how God was faithful to me. Look at how God was loving to me. Or as we've said this morning, you should go back and see how God has been with you, how God has forgiven you in 2017, God has rescued you and protected you in 2017, and how God has been good to you in 2017. God has led you in 2017. God has been sovereign over your life in 2017. God has taught you in 2017. God has strengthened your life in 2017. God's done all these things for you. So indeed, then, God's been faithful to you and me in 2017. And all these ways that I've talked about this morning are ways that show you God loves you. So that's what we're coming to. The ways that show God loves you and loves you a lot. So the way to sum up your life in 2017 is that God loved me. God loved me. He faithfully, daily, consistently, and greatly loved me. That's what he did. That's how we need to bottom line this whole thing to finish up this year. Psalm 136, which we're not going to read, but just to look at to get the picture. And I've gone over this a few times in the past because I don't ever want you to forget Psalm 136. It should be a blueprint for your life. It's 22 verses, covers a portion of time really dealing with the Jews' time in the desert. But it starts off generically talking about how God is good and we thank him and everything else. Then it moves into the particular details of their time in the desert. But the thing you know from this chapter, unless you haven't read it, you can see real quick, 22 different times is this response, his loving kindness is everlasting. And so as you look at your years, you look at the days of this past year, the months of this last year, and now the last day of this last year, past year, what can you say? Can you say this with a whole heart? His love is everlasting. It's been true for me, and I mean personally say it. And if you can't personally say it, either one, you don't know the Lord, you need to get saved, or number two, you're not processing things rightly. You've been living a worldly life or a fleshly life and are not thinking about the Lord, not reading the Word, not seeing things the way that God wants. The first point, if you're not saved, just realize, why did Christ come to this world? Man, he came because they're sinners. He says, behold, the Son comes into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. And if you don't know him, tell him you're sorry that you've sinned against him, repent, and mean sincerely so, because God is your judge. And what God wants to do is to judge Christ for your sins, so that Christ then can be just, the justifier of the one, as it says in Romans 3, who has faith in him. And so that's it. Christ died for you. He paid for people's sins, so all those who repent then and place their faith in him and him alone then are forgiven, forever forgiven, and receive eternal life. But then the second thing is processing things rightly, so that you can say his loving kindness is everlasting. You need to think about this today. This is no small thing. This is, I would suggest you, the most important thing for your life today is to process what we've said here this morning. Do not just discard this sheet. Take it back. Look at it. Think about it. Take some time. I've said this before. It's not just a matter of coming to church on Sunday, but taking the time, some other time, to think about what you've been taught, what the Lord's taught you, because I don't know what the Lord, the Spirit, has put in your heart this morning. There's many different thoughts have been shared, but I know he has. I know he instructs. It's up for you then to be faithful and diligent and not be like the sower and the seed story. And there's three seeds that went the wrong way. You know, the one that just got eaten by birds, the one that sprouted and then died because of persecution. The third one was in rocky soil, was thorns and thistles and weeds. And the fourth one was good soil. Again, you understand, I think you understand this. That when you take in the word, there's a competition for the truth of God in your life. And are you then fighting off that competition? Because it is a battle. I mean, you go home today, there's so many other things you can do. So many things are coming your way, phone calls and texts, and I got to do this and that. You've got to learn how to say no to that stuff. I heard the truth of God today, and God's trying to speak to me today. And if I don't listen to him, I'm a fool. You're a fool if you don't listen to the truth of God. And he has spoken. I'm sure he has spoken to you. So you need to take the time to listen to him. And so, we come to Psalm 92 then. Psalm 92 back there. It says, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. So we should thank the Lord. We talk about finishing off this year rightly. You need to take some time. I mean, I don't know if it'd be a minute or 5 minutes. Hopefully it's more than just a minute. You take some time to thank the Lord for the months and the days and for the people and the situations and trials and for the victories and for the health or whatever else you want to thank him for. There's a lot of things you can thank him for. Take the time to thank the Lord for this past year. Thank him. It says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Then it goes on to say, tomorrow starts a new year, right? We all know that. This is the 31st. Tomorrow's the 1st. What are you going to do in the morning? What's verse 2 say? Declare your loving kindness in the morning. That's the way to start your day. And that is the way I suggest you start 2018. Declare your love in the morning. Declare his love the first day of 2018. And proclaim then. Proclaim, because what we're talking about here is the big picture, not just a proclamation of God's love for you for just tomorrow, January 1st, 2018, but for the entirety of 2018. That's what I'm suggesting to you here. How do you start the new year? I mean, you know, all these resolution stuff and this and that, and there's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't mean much, apart from God, that is. Before the Lord, you declare his loving kindness and proclaim, the love of God is going to be true to me throughout the days and the weeks and the months in this entire year, 2018. That's what he wants. And then you proclaim that. Then you get up on January 2nd and January 3rd and January 4th. Okay, God's going to show me his love today. That's how you need to look at each day. God, how am I going to see you, your kindness, your mercy, your goodness, your faithfulness to me in my life today? And this is what he wants for you every day of this year. So then, a year from now, December 31st, 2018, we look back, and what do we see? The loving kindness of God. And we can say, as it said in Psalm 136, his loving kindness is everlasting. I've seen it this whole last year, man. I've seen it a whole lot of times. And if I can say one thing for this next year, is what you need to see is the loving kindness of God. But you need to think about it. Christianity is a thinking religion or relationship. Use your head to think about what's going on, things that are taking place. And again, the problem is, and you know this, there's so many things out there that compete for your brain, your mind, your time. You've got to learn. And I'm not saying you can't do certain things. I'm not saying you can't watch the Bucks this Saturday if you want, okay? Or some game or whatever. But please take the time, carve out the time to think about the Lord, to think about the truth, to think about what he's doing in your life. But let me also say this. Let me expand this a little bit. Is we're not loners. We're here to be with others. Think about the lives of people that you are with. And that's a good thing, because you know what? As you do that, that helps you then to know how to encourage and build up that person as well. I'm going to think about my spouse or my children or my friends, others I know, my parents, my children, and what has God been doing in their life, you see? So you think about yourself, but you don't want to be too selfish in that regard, that is think about others then and what God's doing in their life. Finally, let's finish off. Let's go to Lamentations chapter 3. Go to Jeremiah, then you got Lamentations, Lamentations chapter 3. You find Jeremiah, you have Isaiah, you have Jeremiah, the prophets, then you go to Lamentations chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 21. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. This time I want Bruce and Steve to come up. We're all three going to pray as we finish off our year and start the new year. So Bruce and Steve, come on up here. I'll finish whatever order.
Okay. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we come before you as your children, as the flock under your care, as ones who have known your loving kindness this year. You've given us life and breath, and you have given us life again forevermore, everlasting life in your Son. You've given us forgiveness. Oh God, we know there are so many wrongs that we have done, so many sins we have committed, and yet you have been faithful to forgive each one of us. And you are a God who sees perfectly, and so you have even forgiven us of those sins we're not aware of. Amazing are you in your loving kindness. We thank you for being faithful to allow our church to continue to meet here every week, for allowing us to have this place to meet so that we can fellowship with one another, so that we can come together and praise you congregationally. You have given us that blessing. There are so many places and many believers that don't have this open, free privilege. So I thank you for allowing us, this congregation, to be here in the USA. And I ask that you would help us then to not take advantage or to take advantage of the privileges then that you have given us, the freedoms that we have. Help us to be able to speak boldly of the wonders and of your loving kindness toward us this coming year as well. And so we do thank you for allowing us. I thank you for forgiving us, the pastors that we have, for Steve and for Bruce and myself, allowing us to serve together. Help us, oh God, to be more faithful to the end. Dear God, I thank you for every saint, every soul, every person that has walked through our doors this year. Help us then to love them in the manner that you would have us to do. So we do thank you for 2017 and look forward to what you will do in your loving kindness in 2018.
Lord, I just thank you for opportunity to look back and be thankful and give you praise, thinking of each person here and how you worked in their lives and knit us together as a body, or we are the body of Christ, loving each other, Lord, and serving each other and people where we work, our communities, Lord, our families, and just help us to continue to be lights, that we would draw people to you, that you would get the glory. And just thank you for the ministries you give us to do that, Lord, activities to be ones serving and be those lights. Give us wisdom on how to proceed this year in those areas, to be faithful with what you give us, Lord, our talents, our money, our relationships, just so much, Father, that we praise you for, but we do need your help. And we just, again, thank you for our missionaries that are overseas and serving you, Lord, and allowing us to be part of that. Pray that you'd continue to give them good health and all would go well with them, Lord. As we pray for our saints here, that you would continue to bless. I know many struggle health-wise, and just ask for your continued mercy, just physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. Thank you how you sustain us, as we were just reflecting on. We praise you in Christ's name.
Dear Father, we do thank you again for this past year, and indeed that you're with us every step of the way, and we bless you for that. You were kind to us and faithful and gentle and forgiving and leading, all these things we've talked about, Lord. Thank you so much for being our Father. One, I will admit I don't think about you enough, I don't thank you enough, but I thank you now, and I want to thank you even more, and all of us here. Because you are such a great God, and to think that we have as your Father, and Lord Jesus, our Savior, Holy Spirit, one who is with us, our Comforter, Lord, our Teacher, we thank you for these things. And thank you, Lord, for how you've protected us and encouraged us and helped us again through all the days. Some days, some weeks were hard. Some relationships were difficult. Some things at work were hard. But God, you've helped us and you've kept us going. Maybe it was a physical thing or a relational thing, but God, you've kept us going. And we look now into the next year. And God, believe that you are going to bless. Our hope, our trust is in you, Lord. We expect you, Father, to come through. You're our Father. Lead us in the way that you want us to go. Counsel us with your eye upon us, Father. And we do look to you again for your protection for our lives personally and our families and for the entire church. Use us, God, in the way that you would like. Use us, our spiritual gifts. Lord, use us as a church. Lord, use us as families. We want to fulfill the purposes that you have for us. But thank you again for this church. Thank you for each one here. Again, Lord, we just bless you for your great love and mercy upon each one of us here. We want to pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.